ada pengganti hari. Jai Vishnu Prabhupada Paramahansa Parvati Kachaya Ashutosh Vasishtha Mahadhyaya Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I'm reading the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're reading about the atrocities of King Kamsa. And we're on text 25. Bratu samanuttapattasya Shantarosha Chadevaki Vyasrijad Vasudevascha Rahasyatam Uvachaha Bhratu Samanutta Patasya Shantarosha Chadevaki Yasrijad Vasudevascha Rahasyatam Uvachaha Bratu told her brother Kamsa, Samantapatasya, because of his being regretful, Shantarosha was relieved of anger, Cha also, Devaki, Krishna's mother Devaki, Vyasvija gave up. Vasudeva cha. Vasudeva also. Prahasya. Smiling. Tam. Unto Kamsa. Uvacha. Said. Ha. In the past. Translation, purport, Srila Prabhupada. When Devaki saw her brother actually repentant while explaining ordinary events, she was relieved of all anger. Similarly, Vasudeva is also free from anger. Smiling, he spoke to Kamsa as follows. Devaki and Vasudeva, both highly elevated personalities, accepted the truth presented by Kamsa that everything is ordained by providence. According to the prophecy, Kamsa would be killed by the eighth child of Devaki. Therefore, Vasudeva and Devaki saw that behind all these incidents was a great plan devised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Lord had already taken birth just like a human being and was in the safe custody of Yashoda, everything was happening according to plan, and there was no need to continue their ill feeling toward Kamsa. Thus they accepted Kamsa's words. I used to work at the jail a little bit and talking to the ladies there. And I found out that actually one of the main reasons why people are in jail is what, do you all think? What? No, they take things, that's true. Actually, it's because they're usually very angry. They usually have a hard time controlling their anger. Things rub them the wrong way, things don't go the way they want, or they want things, like you say, that they can't have, and they get angry. And so a lot of the reasons why people are imprisoned is because of anger. Here we're hearing that Devaki and Vasudeva were completely free from anger, even though something horrible happened to them. So they actually achieved control of anger, especially in this way, in this purport is describing it, because they actually heard the proper thing, the proper philosophy. So Prabhupada actually recommended that we, actually the Bhagavatam recommends itself, is to regularly hear this philosophy, to regularly come to class sometime during the day. I'm sure over at the Bhaktivedanta Academy you all hear at least once a day some nice philosophy about Krishna consciousness. Because what does it do? It actually satisfies our agitations. We understand who we really are. It's like the ABCs that Kamsa has been giving. The ABCs of Krishna conscious philosophy. First of all, that we're not this body, and we're not the mind. So although the mind should be angry at this point, with all the children being killed, somehow we're able to subdue it. So this is a real basic philosophy, which is easier understood than just hearing it, that we're not this body, we're not the mind, we're not the false ego. And also the ABCs of hearing that everything is not under our control, being reminded again and again in the Bhagavatam in all of our classes that we're not in control, that actually Krishna is the center and the control of everything. And also that we are very insignificant. And all the things that happen to us that seem like such a major event in our lives, even when you're small, something might happen, you think, this is the worst thing ever could ever happen to me. But it's just a flickering thing. We're very insignificant. The things that happen to us are very insignificant. And we should learn to let them roll off our back, as they say, and understand that it's not really affecting us, the soul. So these are important things that we do hear again and again, and we should keep hearing, because in Kali Yuga, you have to hear them many, many times to have it sink in. I said three times, but I think we could probably put an exponent of a lot higher than that to be able to actually have some effect on us. Because obviously, Kamsa wasn't too affected by his own preachings, because in very few days, he's going to end up doing more atrocious things. So, but we have to regularly hear, and this will help remind ourselves that we're not, really the soul is not subject to so many of these things that are happening in the material world. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they actually achieved this. Obviously they've been hearing it and living in that way, living that pure life for a long time. And we can see even in our lives, I think if you all can reflect back when you joined Krishna consciousness, there was a lot of times when the anger exploded and didn't have that control. But we see now that we've been chanting for so many years and we've been hearing the philosophy for many years, that anger can be quieted very easily if we just realize that, first of all, that if I let it come out, I'm going to be an offender. And then that can be such a big elephant coming into our garden of devotional service. So best I just take a big breath, chant Hare Krishna, think about it for a while, and go on with my service. This anger has some sisters, and those anybody knows some of the sisters that accompany anger? Any of the kids? Nobody? Cummings, like what?
It's one jealousy.
Yeah, like greed and envy, right? Anything else? Any other bad qualities that follow along? Like lust and illusion? What? Oh, yeah, I said it, all right. What else?
Pulling?
Huh?
Pulling?
I don't know. But bewilderment also is there. So anger is not alone. But it does have a history. If you go all the way back to the creation, Lord Brahma, he was very frustrated because he couldn't get his children to do what he wanted, to procreate. And so he got very angry, and the anger out of his passion came out of his forehead, and out popped. Anybody over here know? Say it out loud. Well, Lord Brahma, what came out of his forehead?
Yeah.
Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva was, it's called the Rudra principle. It actually is a, Lord Shiva's came out of passion with a little bit of ignorance mixed. But this Rudra principle of actually egocentricism actually is a disease that entered all of the hearts of the conditioned souls. And we all see that we have that anger hiding somewhere in our hearts, and sometimes it just comes out. So the anger also has some synonyms, some other meanings. In the Bhagavad Gita, you'll read, and anger is known as our worst enemy, an enemy that dictates horrible things to us. A horrible vibration comes in, it agitates us, it brings in all this information that goes against our grain, that makes us upset. So this is an enemy that sometimes we just have to live with. But the devotee is very lucky because of the constant hearing of Krishna's name, it can eradicate that enemy. This anger is also known as a cobra. Cobras are very deadly. And if released, the cobra's venom can neatly make the enemy die. And so sometimes people's words can be very harsh and piercing. And it can also, just the harshness can also pierce your own heart. So anger is like a cobra, very difficult to hold back its venom. And it's also, anger is known as, that it burns like fire. I don't know if you've ever experienced anger, but sometimes it burns, and you just don't know what to do. It consumes. It consumes your peacefulness. It consumes your intelligence. And sometimes you do crazy things. And like I said, sometimes so crazy that you end up in jail. You do horrible things. So it burns like fire. It's a very ugly quality, and we definitely, as devotees, want to get rid of that quality. Because it can lead to, like I said, to offenses, which is very detrimental. But sometimes, because of our conditioning, we have what's called short fuses. I don't know if you've ever played with firecrackers. Have you all ever played with firecrackers? Yeah, when I was a kid too. I didn't like firecrackers because they actually had very short fuses, and by the time you light them, you really have to run, and you hope you don't trip because it goes off. Sometimes they even go off in your hand, things like that. They're kind of dangerous. And so some people have what's called a short fuse, and they have a temper like a firecracker. And so if you do have that disposition or a tendency like that, there are some recommended things that, like association, to not associate with people that do, you know, light your firecracker off, that kind of rub you the wrong way. And that does happen even in devotion service. Some people just don't get along with. So best not to associate with them, respect them from a distance, and be careful, accept what's favorable. You know that if you go around a certain circumstance, like something that really bothers you that's not being done properly in ISKCON or whatever, just, you know, don't go near there. Don't put yourself in front of that to avoid that anger coming up. And it's also described that anger is in that chain from lust. Lust, anger, delusion, so many things. So passion is also a cause of anger, of lust, and then anger. So sometimes we have to change the prasadam that we're eating. Maybe we're eating too many sweets or something like that, or hot things or something like that that doesn't agree with us. It makes us more passionate and more easily to anger. So we can be conscious of that. And also we can kind of see in history that some very renounced people like Durvasa Muni and things like that kind of were always agitated very easily. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada said that if we become too artificially renounced, that sometimes we do become very agitated easily. And so therefore, if you find that tendency in yourself, then kind of lighten up a little bit. Don't maybe fast. Yeah, you got your claws up, I see. Maybe, you know, lighten up a little bit on some of your austerities or something like that. It might help with your dealings with other devotees. But devotees do have this practice of regular hearing, which definitely helps a lot. I was in India and picked up a magazine at a dental office, and it said that that there's a real problem with anger, anger of your own self, that you actually get very angry at yourself, of your incompetency, let's say. Just like if you have a test and you don't do good on it, right? You get angry at yourself. Oh, why didn't I study better? Something like that. And there's a real problem in India right now with the IT students, that they actually are committing suicide, left and right, because they are so much pressure for them to do so good, to make it on the top, to get better than anybody else, that they are just leaving little notes and to their parents saying, I'm sorry I couldn't meet what you wanted, I'm sorry I feel bad about it, but you know, better I just kill myself. So this is a real problem, an increasing problem that we get angry with ourselves because maybe we don't have that control, or we can't meet some standard, or somebody is too much better than we are, and we're not, you know, not up there with everybody else. So this is this is something that we should understand, that we are at the center. We aren't everything. That we have imperfections, but we can become a good devotee. And with the grace of Srila Prabhupada and our God sisters and God brothers, and hearing this knowledge, so we should always have confidence in this process, of this purifying process. And then there's also a great service that we can do to others and to ourselves to stop other people getting angry at us or getting angry, and that is being very conscious of other people's opinions, be very respectful of other people's individuality, and realize that, you know, they might, you know, think differently than we do, and therefore I shouldn't cause them agitation. I shouldn't be in such a way that I provoke somebody. Just if I know something really agitates somebody that I'm living with, I should try not doing that. Why agitate them unnecessarily if I know that it's not good for our relationships? So sometimes we have to withhold and not do things that we would normally do because we know that it'll agitate someone. So this is a great service that we can do for other devotees, is to be conscious that there's a soul in there, and that soul might have some material problems, but I should try to help that soul, just like married couples. That's how you have to learn how to work together. You realize their inefficiencies, and then you try to not go there and agitate it. Srila Prabhupada also warned us that in Sankirtan, that we should be very conscious of other people when we're distributing books and having distribution conversations with people, trying to get them to give books, that we should always leave them in a very nice state of mind, that they feel like they've met a very nice person, that we haven't agitated them, that we haven't angered them in any way. Even if they didn't want the book, then, oh, very nice, that's nice, I hope you have a nice day, whatever. So Srila Prabhupada was very, very firm on this point, that whatever we do, that they're always thinking that, oh, devotees are very nice people, that we should respect everybody. Actually, the term namaste is actually giving respect to that soul and to the Lord in that person's heart. And so even on Sankirtan, sometimes we meet demons. And but we should see beyond that demon, and we should see that, oh, actually, there's a spirit soul in there. They just forgot to put their tilak on this morning, but they're actually they're a really nice person. They've just forgotten that they're devotees, that's all. And maybe I can help them remember. But I find sometimes that I'm even nicer and more respectful to the demons and the non-devotees than I am to devotees. Because we expect so much of devotees, right? We expect a high standard. We expect all our kids to be Prahlad Maharajas, right? Didn't we think that, right? And sometimes we get angry that they didn't meet the standard there, you know. And we, same with our husbands and our wives. Why aren't they the perfect grihastha couple, you know? And sometimes we can lose it and lose that respect and realize that, hey, we all got our problems, but not to get angry about it and to have that respect, that higher vision, just like Devaki and Vasudev realized that Krishna's got it under control, that everything is being done by his will. But then we can use anger in Krishna's service. Just like even Srila Prabhupada used anger in Krishna's service. Fathers sometimes have to reprimand their children, but out of a means of instructing for the benefit of them. Sometimes if you don't get angry at somebody, they could, you know, burn their hand, or they could walk out into the street. So many different things if you don't take that position of sometimes really showing anger. You know, why did you do such a thing? They could have, you know, done this and that, and they could have burned the house down, or you could have done whatever. We were listening on Sunday to Tamal Krishna Goswami giving a remembrance of when he really did something really crazy within the Bombay contract. He did something really, really foolish, and he was talking and told Prabhupada what he'd done, and all of a sudden he just hears click, and that's all he heard. It was a phone. Prabhupada hung up, and for like weeks Prabhupada couldn't, you know, like deal with this whole situation. But then Prabhupada, you know, lightened up. So Prabhupada did have to teach us sometimes by being angry, but then he would let it go and be a friend and realize, yes, these people, they just make mistakes. So we should also have that same mood. Now, you can also use anger in different ways, just like Advaita Acharya. He was feeling like, I'm not getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And so what did he do? He pretended like he was a Mayavadi, preaching Mayavadi philosophy to provoke anger in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he just sat there teaching how we're all wrong and this and that. And the Lord got out to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya did get very angry and stormed in. What are you doing, Advaita Acharya? And he was chastising him. And then, of course, the Advaita Acharya was like, even with the beating him, I think, and the wife came out, oh, don't beat my husband. And Advaita Acharya was feeling like, yes, now I've gotten the mercy of this is what I wanted. So he used that anger to get the mercy. Also, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna kind of agitated Arjuna, right? He was calling him names and kind of poking him in the ribs and saying, come on, you fool, and why don't you do this, and chastising him. And then, so he had to get Arjuna fired up to fight. He had to get this battle won. And so it had great effect. And of course, Arjuna was able to defeat all those different Akshahinis and armies, millions of persons, right? And the same way, we can remember, near the, I think in the middle of the battle, and Bhishma decided that he was also poked in the ribs by Duryodhana to, come on, you're not fighting hard enough, you gotta kill Arjuna. With Arjuna's arm, we can win. And so Bhishma said, okay, and he was fighting like anything against Arjuna. And then it really made Krishna mad, you know, and Krishna was so mad, what did he do? He jumped off of his chariot and left his cloth, he was running, and left it on the ground, and Bhishma was sitting there smiling, watching Krishna run towards him with a big, huge wheel in his hand to fight him. Because, why? Because Bhishma could see that he's broken his promise, just because he loves his devotee so much. So this was a nice transcendental use of anger. Also, there was that incident of the Daksha Yajna when poor Sita didn't get invited to the party, and her husband didn't get invited also. And so she was really upset. And then she didn't take the heed of her husband's advice, and she went to the party anyway, and Lord Shiva was there and totally disrespected by her father. I mean, he was blaspheming, saying horrible things, and she was just like, oh my gosh, this is just too much. And so she sat down in her fury of anger, she burnt up her whole body and was gone, out of there. It was, hearing that of those offenses was worse than dying. So she actually used that anger. Don't try it. Don't use it that way. And also, let's see what else. Well, there's also some very relishable transcendental anger. I know I was in the garden, the only one time I was in the garden with Srila Prabhupada, and we were reading the story of Makhan Chor, Krishna stealing butter. And he was sitting on a bench and listening to the story of how Mother Yasoda was getting a little perturbed, getting so many complaints about this, you know, stealing the butter, and all the gopis were upset. And so she was talking to Krishna, saying, listen, you can't do this. You can't do this. You know, even in my house, you shouldn't be stealing butter. And so she went and she hid it in the storehouse in a dark, dark place so Krishna couldn't find it. And it's not like you had light switches those days. You couldn't just go in and turn on the light. So Krishna was getting pretty angry. How can I find this butter? And then she says, and somehow or other, you can even go in there and the focus of your jewels or something is making it so you can find the butter. So I'm going to take all the jewels off of you. And that really made Krishna angry. And so what did they do? They urinated all over the floor. And if anyone, you know, mothers, you know, it makes such a mess. You know, it's just like, And so when Prabhupada heard that, you know, he's listening to himself writing this, and he just like rolled back on the bench. It was a cement bench without a back. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to fall off. But he was just laughing, relishing, hearing that story. So even this anger is relishable to the devotees. And then, of course, on our altar, there's someone who gets angry quite often. And guess which one he is? Lord Balaram, right. He has, I guess, a little bit of a short fuse, but a very transcendental one. There's that story of Rukmi, the big match, the chess match. And naturally, if you look at Lord Balaram's face, his eyes have a natural reddish to them, inside, a little bit reddish. But when he found out that the cheating was going on by Rukmi, his eyes got blazing red from the fury of his anger, even more red than normal. And he started becoming so agitated that he was moving like the ocean on a full moon day. And he, what did he do? He just said, all right, 1,000,000 gold coins. And then we know later on that he did some dental work on the king of Kalinga and some of his followers. But you know what? He was laughing the whole time. So somehow or other, he can be angry but laughing. So we should if we have to get angry, try to laugh with it. And there's some other times when he was fighting with Mushtika, it said that his eyes got more red than blazing copper. I don't know if you've ever heated up copper before. It gets burning. I mean, red, red, copper red. And so this is what happened when he was fighting with Mushtika. And then there is, of course, Dhenukasura. It was going all right until Dhenukasura kicked him in the chest really hard. And then the anger let him go, and he ended up twirling around, throwing them all the trees, and decorating all the palm trees with different colored ass demons. Inside of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, I was thinking of a really nice pastime I always like. That is when Jagannanda was trying to please the Lord, trying to please Lord Chaitanya. And so he tried to make this really nice bed out of some kind of loo, palm leaves and straw and things like that. And Lord Chaitanya, being in the announced order now, said, you know, what are you trying to do? I'm a sannyas. He got very angry at Jagannanda. So somehow or other he kind of swallowed that one. But then Jagannanda came with a very precious sandalwood oil that's not very easy to obtain. He had to go very far, he had to carry it. I know that I just bought some sandalwood oil from somebody, and boy, is it expensive. I mean, really expensive. You know, they don't even like let one drop go down the jar, you know. And so he carries this to Lord Chaitanya to give him a massage, and that was like the, you know, that was the end of it. And he got very angry. You know, what are you trying? I'm a sense enjoyer. What's going on? I'm a sannyasi. And then Jagannanda got angry and smashed the sandalwood oil on the ground. And so you can see all this transcendental anger is very nice. Of course, later on, he was so upset with Jagannanda that he was fasting, and Lord Chaitanya found out about it and then said, Jagannanda, can you cook a feast for me? Can you cook for me? And then it all came very nice. So, but this is anger out of love, because the devotee is trying to serve the Lord is trying to serve the devotee. So in this way, anger can be very sweet, and we should, if we have to use it, have it either instructive or beneficial for the devotee, or else in some kind of a sweet relationship to help increase our love and our service for each other. And sometimes we do. Krishna gives us tests for us to learn. Here, Devaki and Vasudev have passed their test very nicely. Got an A+. I don't think I would have been so forgiving of Kamsa, but that also is required of devotees. So the best way to pass a test is to simply follow the simple sadhana that Srila Prabhupada has given us. There really are no secrets to advancement in Krishna consciousness, to get over the lust which causes the anger, which causes the greed, which causes the bewilderment and delusion and the falling, the blooping back into material life. It's simple sadhana. Prabhupada gave us a process to conquer over our tongue, which is the most voracious, so that even if we are thinking angrily, it doesn't come out. and so the chanting of course, our chanting of 16 rounds, at least 16 rounds, is there. And the glorification of Krishna by preaching to others and setting an example. Always thinking that we have to set this example. We have to be the shining disciple of Srila Prabhupada and not let loose on our anger and try to always not agitate other people, to think of it and respect them. This we should always be included in our sadhana. And of course, hearing, like Vasudeva and Devaki here, are hearing very attentively to these instructions, these simple ABCs that we have to get under our belt. We have to get within way under our belt, all the way into the soul, which takes some time. There's a lot of layers covering ourselves, all the 10 layers thicker, especially that last one, that false ego, when something does, you know, go against it. We have to remember that we're not this body, we're not this false ego, we're not the mind and intelligence. But keep it absorbed by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavatam, every day, without fail, hearing this philosophy and chanting our rounds every day. So maybe someone else would like to comment on a little bit about anger, or maybe some other pastimes of transcendental anger. There are so many, actually. Bhagavatam is full of it. Anybody else like to contribute something? Yes?
When Bhishma Dev was instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira, he says, suppression of anger is the foremost duty of all the varnas and all the ashram. See? So it seems like one has to make a conscious effort to really suppress it. Mm. And of course his sadhana, everything else, you know, but apart from that, if that fails in you know, some way, he also has to make like a conscious effort.
Yes, it's very hard. Sometimes like reining back some wild horses.
Like recently I had an encounter, my son was driving, and I told him to move to the right, and he went to the left. So I shouted at him. I said, "What are you doing? Why didn't you listen?" You know, he started to shout back. And I immediately made a conscious effort not to say anything. And it worked, you know. Minutes later, we were, you know, back on track.
Papa said Krishna consciousness means consciousness of everything. And we find that when we are, we can hold back like you did, become more conscious of our anger, then it can save us a lot of embarrassment and a lot of reprimanding of fixing relationships that might be destroyed when we don't. Yes?
Our Tom Das Thakur gives some recommendations how to use different qualities. He says, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jani, that one should use his anger against those who are envious of the devotees. And in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we see that he became very angry at Jagai and Madai, but actually Nityananda Prabhu pacified him. And I'm just thinking, in practical preaching field, how we can utilize anger against those who are envious of devotees, or what is your insight on that?
Maybe our Sankirtan devotee just left. I'm sure he comes across it every day. How to sometimes not be angry. First of all, I'll ruin your next confrontation with somebody, because if you're angry because someone didn't give you a donation or agitate you, the next person you come to is really hard to deal with. I know from experience. We have to have the mercy, the compassion go over, replace the anger. Be more compassion. It has to replace it. That's all I can think of, is to think how Prabhupada, you know, he came here and saw what a mess everybody was and everything. He didn't get angry at us. He just got more compassionate and realized, I just really got to help these people, you know. It's our only hope. Maybe someone else has some advice. Yes.
Sometimes I've noticed that if I say the wrong thing to someone who is about to make some offenses against the devotees or Krishna, I stop. I could agitate them and help them to make the offense. So before we get to that stage, we just move away or walk away like that. And that helps. It helps a lot before they make the offense. So you don't have to react in any way. And like you said, it also destroys your own, you know, mentality, and your whole consciousness becomes angered, and then you can't even approach the next person. Or if you try to approach them, they don't want to hear. You know.
Can even affect your job the next day, I find.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Yes.
That was a really nice class, Mother Akuti. I was thinking of some of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes where he gets really angry, like with the Chan Kazi. He was getting all the devotees to say, like, kill the Kazi, and he created a big scene out of his transcendental anger. And then another time, he was in the mood of Lord Nrisimhadev when he heard Nrisimhadev's name. And then he was running around Navadvip saying, kill the atheist, kill the atheist. and he was really angry. And then the devotees calmed him down, and he had realized, oh wait, I'm supposed to be in the mood of a devotee. and then Srivas, and he was really worried that he had created so much disturbance. And then Srivas Thakur said, no, my lord, anyone that just heard your roaring, and he was roaring like Nrisimhadev, but Srivas said that anyone that just saw his transcendental anger would be delivered. So, but I was wondering if you could maybe talk something about how anger, because it's said that we should, like I've heard Satsvart Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada explain how we should actually be angry towards the atheists. We should be angry that people are not taking to Krishna consciousness, but how do we have that anger in such a healthy way that it doesn't make them create more offenses?
I think it just converts into, for me, is to figure out, like Srila Prabhupada also, I just think he tried to figure out how he could change the situation. And then, it's supposed to be all kinds of wars coming, everything like that. Prabhupada predicted, and then there was Mayapur. But he said it can change. This can change. The mentality can change by the Sankirtan movement. So if we always are thinking of how to spread the Sankirtan movement, and so take that anger and just think, why am I so stupid? Why can't I think of how I can do the Sankirtan better? Why can't I figure out how to get more students here, and more people at the Sunday feast? And so use your anger against yourself and figure out that I'm just being very incompetent in spreading Krishna consciousness movement. How can I help the situation worldwide and even within our community of making it more Krishna conscious? So I think this is the best use of our anger is try to figure out how we can do better and do our part better to really change the consciousness of people. That's my only advice. Anybody else? Yes.
Anger is an emotion. So the difference is that rather than it controlling you, that you use anger as a motivator. So
right.
When we talk about
very nice.
Getting angry with the non-devotees and that sort of thing, that you're using the anger. It's not using you. And
nice.
the other point I would say is that the important point with regard to anger is renunciation. To always have that element of being able to renounce or draw back from that.
Right. Sometimes you want to be the last word in, but to actually go,
yeah.
Being attached.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Nice. Look wonderful.
I was just going to respond to Didi had made the point about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anger during his pastimes at the house of Srivas during the Mahaprakash. But most of the time when the Lord becomes angry like that, It's a tasting of like Viras or Rodras. So there's a real huge gulf of difference between the anger that rises from the modes of nature in the material world,
right.
Like the mode of passion that affects us. That's why it's so destructive. But in this case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show all the devotees from all the other incarnations he had done that their Ishtadev had in fact come. So at Srivas' house, he manifested all the different incarnations to show them, yeah, you love Nrisimhadev, Nrisimhadev is here. So he displayed all the bhavs of Nrisimhadev.
And also from Arai Gupta, he displayed the bhavs of Lord Ram, etc. like that. So that anger is a little different. And also just one other nice thing is that Nityananda, I mean, Balaram, as you said, became very angry. I love the way you described it. But in Mahaprabhu's Leela, this very nice song, Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Roy, that's particularly in this incarnation, Nityananda Prabhu never displayed any anger, which was very, very amazing thing, because of all other Lakshman and everything else, he always had that little edge. So very
that's
nice.
True. Yeah. Very nice. I remember how much Srila Prabhupada really loved Lord Srinivas and all his mood of anger. And there was when you first walked in the old temple of Los Angeles, there was a huge picture of Lord Srinivas with a really gory scene, and some devotees wanted to take it down because it's like it was the first thing you'd see when you go in the temple. And Papa said, no, keep it, it's very nice. And then I was sitting very close to Prabhupada when they showed him this funky little presentation that they had. It was like cartoon-like in the sanctuary. It was the sanctuary at that time where the temple is now, and they were showing someone had done a little thing of Prahlad and Nishina, and Papa was, they put him on somehow or other, Vyasasana, on top of one of the normal seats there, and he was sitting there like a little boy watching the video. It wasn't even a video, I don't know what it was, it's like little sections. And he just like, was expecting to have a thing of popcorn or something. He was looking at it, and it came to the part where Lord Nrsimha jumped out of the pillar, and Papa was like really excited, and then Ranakashi Prabhu goes, "What in the hell is going on here?" And they go, "Oh my gosh, you're not supposed to say those kind of words, you know." But Papa was laughing like anything. He really enjoyed it. Anyway, that's a nice pastime. Okay.
I know I went with a group of friends to the temple once. I think this was in the early days. And they saw that picture of Lord Nrsimhadeva, and they couldn't get past anything else. I mean, the first couple of things they asked me when they got outside was, "Well, what was the lion eating the man about?" What was that? So they just couldn't digest that.
What happened to that nice one that was here? It used to be a really nice one.
But later on, I came to find out this has so much very deep significance, because in that particular part of the pastime, Nrsimhadeva is actually glorifying Jai and Vijay. So he's showing, in the verse it says, Nakur Upatita Ritsuroruham, that when Nrsimhadeva had bifurcated in Ranigasipu, he tossed his body aside, but he garlanded himself with his intestines and he held his heart up like a lotus flower. Because he was showing that Jai and Vijay made a sacrifice to come here to please me in Via Ras. They gave up Vaikuntha to come. So he was showing how deep is the devotion of Jai and Vijay. And Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport, Nrsimhadeva, he would not sit on the throne of Indra, but he sat on the throne of Hiranyakasipu. And then our acharyas have explained, this is the real meaning of the verse, that Krishna is explaining, if you can understand how deep the devotion of Jai and Vijay are, that they came here, because Lakshmi Devi cursed them also, and they could have taken seven births as devotees. But when they understood that the Lord wanted to have this pastime of fighting and taste that, immediately they surrendered to that idea. So the Lord blessed them. Some Rama, some Britya, Anubhata Samadhi Yoga, you'll come for three births. You'll remain absorbed in bhakti yoga and anger. So the Lord tasted Vira Ras through that facility. So the Lord was glorifying Hiranyakasipu, how much devotion they actually have.
I hope you didn't try to explain that to the guests that came. Yeah,